Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we have officially made it to Christmas Eve 2017, and I hope that you have managed to buy all the presents that you need to buy and get them wrapped and hopefully delivered by this point. And I wonder if you've ever had the experience of leaving someone out of your shopping list, of someone coming to your house with a present and you have forgotten to buy them one. So as you frantically think, has that happened to me this year? Maybe you're the person who is sorted and you have got all your presents bought, but let me ask you this. What are you giving to God this Christmas? Have you included him on your list? Because this year, the cathedral, we're thinking about unwrapping Christmas. Last week, Kidzone unwrapped the story of that first Christmas in their nativity service. And tomorrow morning at our joint worship service, Sam will unwrap God's gift to us. But this morning, I'd love us to ask ourselves the question, what would God most like to unwrap this Christmas? What gift could we give to him? Or Psalm 116 puts it like this. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? We cannot measure up to the indescribable gift that God has given us in Jesus. But when we truly grasp that gift, when we really understand what it is we have received in Christ, we can't not respond to it. We can't not want to give something back. And so for us, it's normal that we exchange gifts with one another. And yet in God's Christmas gift of Jesus, it also invites a response, some kind of exchange. The danger of our Christmas traditions is that we can come along to carol services like this every Christmas, and we hear the story retold, and we sing those songs, but then we continue with life as if it's just a story. Because the reality is Christmas is not just a story. But every Christmas, God invites us to respond to it, to respond to Christ for who he is, Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, God still with us, and we are invited to respond to him. So we cannot measure up to the gift that God has given us, but we can respond with the gifts that God most desires from us. So we're going to look at the three gifts that I believe God really desires from us as his children. And today really sets the scene for the first gift that we can give him. Because it is our worship. That is the first gift. And this morning we're recalling the story of Christmas. We're hearing the carols and we're responding to each part of the story. And that's the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to retell it. And a few minutes ago, we heard the story of the angels coming to announce the birth of the newborn king to a group of shepherds. But what do the angels do when they come to the shepherds? They worship. It's that very famous line from every nativity play when the angels say, "Glory to God in the highest." Worship was both the duty and the joy of the angels that night. Worship is what they were created for. Worship is what we were created for. It's what the shepherds do when they hear the news from the angels. They hurry to Bethlehem to worship. It's what the wise men do when they see the star. They travel from a faraway place to worship. The book of Revelation tells us it is the final end of all existence, the worship of God. God created the universe that it would display his glory. He created us so that we would see that glory and reflect it. So the first gift we should offer to God this Christmas time is our worship. The second gift we can offer then is our generosity. This year, a good friend of mine and I decided we would set a budget for our Christmas presents to one another. And we set a particular amount of money and we would spend in and around that amount so that one wouldn't outgive the other and then there would be a kind of awkward moment about who bought what and what the value was. And I know that lots of people would do that, or that Secret Santa thing that most people do in large groups of friends, where we set a limit, and it's to kind of limit the cost of Christmas. And yet, in contrast to that, what we hear about at Christmas is an indescribable gift, because God is a giving God. He gave the most astounding gift imaginable when Jesus Christ gave up the splendor of heaven, came to earth, took on the flesh that he had created, and bore our sins in that flesh on the cross. That is a gift that you and I can't ever hope to match or repay or give something in equal measure back. But in response to that gift, in response to the generosity of God's heart towards us, we should become generous givers. And if we are truly to become generous like God, it means blessing people not to whatever measure they can pay us back, but deliberately blessing people in ways we know that they won't ever be able to pay us back. The third gift that we can let God unwrap then, this Christmas. After we offer our worship, after we offer our generosity to other people in the name of Jesus, is our hearts. And that is potentially one of the hardest gifts we find to truly give. I don't know about you, but my least favourite carol, and don't be offended by this choir because I'm going to follow this up, is In a Bleak Midwinter. There's something really depressing about it. It's the kind of tone, it's slightly slow, and I just think the words are quite harsh. But this year, the last verse has really caught my attention, and it has in many ways challenged me. And I guess it sums up the essence of what I want us just to think about this morning. That last verse asks us, "What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him my heart." What does that mean? What does that mean to give our hearts to God? Because the God who flung stars into space, who set the planets in motion, revealed himself, revealed his very heart to us in the most fragile, vulnerable way he could, in a helpless newborn baby, depending on the mercy of his mother. Born into less than ideal circumstances and surroundings, he exposed himself to the cruelest parts of humanity without defence. He walked the streets and towns of Israel telling people the good news of salvation. He stood silent as they accused him, and he prayed for their forgiveness and our forgiveness as he was nailed to the cross. He put his heart, the very heart of God, on the line so that we would be willing to give our hearts to him, to enter into a relationship with him. The God who was born into the filthy, unhygienic, less than pretty stable in Bethlehem asks us to give him our hearts, whatever state they're in, whether they're unrighteous, unholy. He asks us to become vulnerable as he became vulnerable to us, to expose the depths of our hearts to him, and to trust him to be our defence and our salvation. So today, as you leave this place, ask yourself this question. What can I give him, poor as I am? Know this, the three things that God most desires from us this Christmas: our worship, our generosity, and most of all, our hearts. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are willing to lay down everything, all the splendor of heaven, and enter into this broken world for us. Thank you that you wanted to become our rescuer. Lord, help us to respond to you. Help us in this Christmas season, in the midst of all the giving and receiving of gifts, help us to give our gifts to you. for you are the only one who is truly worthy of our worship, our generosity, and our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.